Today's reading starts in Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who, from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Here in the book of Luke, here in the beginning of our reading, you have sort of a condensed version of the Beatitudes. Matthew spends a little bit more time on the Beatitudes as well as the full Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Luke also presents them in a little bit different manner. For example, Matthew says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And Luke simply said, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied." I'll have to admit that I don't care too much for the way that Luke did this, simply because the way that Matthew presents it, I get the spiritual meaning behind it easier than I do with the book of Luke. And thankfully, we have the two of them to put together. Now, why do I think Luke did this? I suspect that Luke's ultimate goal was to present a contrast between the way the world sees and does and expects things versus the way a follower of God would see and do and expect things. I think that comes out quite well in verses 27 through 36, because it's really the opposite of the way the world would respond to things. Have you ever heard the saying, "It's a dog-eat-dog world"? Or the idea is, you know, you're going to have to play on the same level. You're going to have to be as aggressive. You're going to have to return likewise for different things. But Jesus presents here, you know, love your enemies. The world certainly doesn't teach that. Do good to those that hate you. They don't teach that either. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. See, it's the opposite of what the world normally does. To the one who strikes you, offer the other. Give to everyone who begs from you. As you wish others to do to you, do so to them. Now that last one you might see it a little bit with the world, but not the others. And so I think that that contrast is what's presented with Luke between the Beatitudes and here as well. And of course, verses 24 through 26, he puts some woes in there. And again, this is contrary to the way people think because of the way that they are influenced by the world around them. Especially for someone who at this time might have never heard this type of teaching before, can you imagine their response? What? Somebody insults me or hits me and I'm supposed to let them insult me and hit me again? Someone takes from me and I'm supposed to be okay with that? You know, people would recoil at this type of teaching. Now, today, a lot of us have heard at least some of these things throughout our lives if we've had any exposure to Christianity at all. And so we don't respond quite the same way. So I think this would have been revolutionary even then. And it still is today, depending on what your background might be. But the world looks at this and says, that's not going to work. You'll get hurt. You'll get killed. You'll lose all that you have. But Jesus isn't just talking about worldly gain, and he's certainly not just talking about being able to get ahead in this life. But he's saying that there are greater things to think about. And if we're looking for the heavenly reward, then we can't be living our life as if we're simply living for an earthly reward. Now in verse 32, he drives that point home, saying, if you love those that love you, what benefit is that? Even sinners love those who love them. And that's the easy thing to do. If someone is always doing nice things for us, and they're always, you know, giving positivity toward us, then it's easy to do the same thing for them. But this idea of blessing and praying for somebody that persecutes you or curses you or hates you, well, that's a lot harder to do. It's a lot harder to take persecution and not return, not revile in return, than it is to just act the way the world would. I would say that it takes someone with a greater depth of character and a greater conviction to be able to show love to someone that is only showing hate to them. And that's what Jesus is calling his disciples and followers to do, is to have that greater depth of character, to rise above the way the world sees things and does things, and be on the level that Jesus is teaching here. In verse 35, he even says that he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. That's the way God is. He's merciful toward all. Not that he'll just overlook sin, but that he is willing to forgive sin. And so that merciful nature is something that he expects us to adopt as his children, as his followers, as those that try to be holy as God is holy and try to be like him. So Jesus is teaching, if you're truly going to be like your Father in heaven, then it has to show up in a different way than the way the world reacts. It has to show up in you responding to things the way God would. You have to be like him. And that's part of that transformation process that we undergo as children of God, disciples of Jesus. And if we're not being transformed, then we're not truly being disciples. I often say that it's easy to love people that we're comfortable with. It's easy to be friends with somebody who has hobbies, interests, you know, cares about things the way that I do. You know, if I'm big into fishing, then my best buddies are probably going to be people that are big into fishing. That's just the way that it works. Likewise with any other interest or hobby. But it takes more work to engage ourselves, care about others, and love people that are not like we are, we don't have things in common with, and perhaps even do things that are detestable to us. To show them love is harder. So he says we can't just be like the world. We can't just be like all the other sinners out there that are in the world. And that, you know, if there's an advantage to a relationship, then they'll nurture it. And if there's no advantage, then they won't nurture it. Jesus says, love people. Love people the way God does. Respond the way God does. So our prayer for today may be to help us to develop a heart that is like God's, that cares about people, and that will show in the way that I interact with them. Sometimes even when their interactions with me are not positive, there are things that I don't like, there are things that I don't want to endure. You know, I don't choose to put myself in a position in which I will be abused. But when that does come my way, how am I going to respond to it? I pray that God will help me to change my heart in such a way that I will respond the way that he would, showing grace and mercy in a situation so that perhaps there may be some benefit that comes out of that. Thank you for listening today. and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.